For my whole career, I've used D'Addario strings.
This is the one that I use live with Megadeth, and I love it.
So I recently shot a rig rundown with Extreme, and I was really excited about it because I've been a Nuno fan for a long time. The guy is touched by the hand of God, incredible player, and he might very well be immortal. We're roughly the same age, and he has never aged. So to see him in living color is pretty amazing. And in this rig rundown, we got to do Pat Badger, who's the original bass player. And he has two basses that you've got to watch because the story behind these basses are amazing. And the Nuno thing is great because his gear is minimal, but he said something really profound. He said, "I don't have much gear. It all comes down to these." And he's right. Check it out. Hey, I'm John Bollinger with Premier Guitar. We're in the historic Ryman Auditorium. I'm with John Thayer, who is the tech for Extreme. He's teching both Nuno and Pat. John, I know you're busy, so thank you for taking some time to talk to us.
Yeah, no problem.
So tell me about this guitar, man.
This is Nuno's 4N, his baby.
This is the one, right?
Since he has had this one for not quite since the 90s. But he's had this one for a long time. It is his favorite guitar. He does not want to play another one. No matter what happens, this is the one he wants in his hands when he goes on stage.
So the rest are backups. That's the primary.
Yeah, we're carrying one backup with us, the 901, which is the first prototype when Washburn first started making them.
Is that this one
right here? Yep, that's that one right there.
Lighter than I imagined.
Yeah, they're small body. It's dinky body with the edges kind of cut off and everything from his original. This is the very first prototype that Washburn made for their dealers.
Really?
He ended up acquiring it. Somehow Guitar Center got a hold of it.
Huh.
He ended up picking it off of somebody and everything. And this is the one we use for backup. But the 4N right here is his absolute favorite guitar.
Wow.
He has basically, since I've been working with him since August, he has not touched that guitar on stage. He will only use this one.
No kidding. Yeah. Let's get some high mileage
on it. It's basically one of the things is you don't touch anything on this guitar.
Right. So all stock as far as you know?
Yes. Basically, this is the same model you can go in and get as a 4N.
Really?
That you can pick up off the shelf from Washburn. Same pickups and everything. It's the Bill Lawrence 500, a Duncan JB in the neck, and it's the same guitar you can go and get.
And that crazy Floyd.
Yes. Yeah. Well, actually, not a Floyd. This is a Kaler Steeler.
Oh.
They used to make them years ago. They're actually, we just met with Gary Kaler a couple weeks ago, and they're reissuing them.
Really?
And they're actually hooking us up with parts and everything, which is great because it's really tough to find. It's a little bit different than the Floyd, a little different block and everything. Nuno prefers them, and with him, it's what he wants is what he gets.
Huh, yeah. So what strings are...
Right now we're using GHS. It's a very heavy bottom, light top. Basically it's a 52, 44, 30, 16, 11, 9.
Are you in standard?
Yeah, no, we're actually a half step down.
Half step down, but he goes from 9 to 52.
Yeah, and some of that is we do a couple songs during this set that are in drop D tuning. Uh-huh. So this way it doesn't get flubby when you drop it down, the extra whole step and everything, it still stays pretty tight and sounds good.
And that bridge can drop down no problem?
Yeah, it's got the detune on it, so you just pop it out and...
Huh. So even with... The springs and changing your tension like that doesn't change
It doesn't really affect anything. It just drops that one string down, tuning a little bit different because of the neck will bow a hair with the different tension and everything, but it seems to be working fine for them.
Yeah. Okay, very cool. That is a little bit of history right there, that guitar.
Man. Oh, yes. This has been with him for quite a few number of years now. It's his main one on everything.
Yeah, very cool. Okay, so that's number one. This is number two. He never plays.
Yep.
And then, of course, the acoustic. Isn't it the irony that one of the greatest electric guitar players of all time, best known for those acoustic hits.
For his acoustic songs, yes. He's actually got two of them. This is his signature Washburn 12 string with the Bloody Heart graphic. We use this one for Over the Rainbow and Wholehearted during the set.
Right.
And then we have another one, a black one, that is the guitar from the More Than Words video.
Yeah.
Still using that same one from 30 plus years ago.
Really?
Yes.
God, that's great.
Yes. Yeah. It's had to been rebuilt a couple of times, but she's still kicking and sounds great. He uses that for three songs during this set.
Yeah. Okay, great. And behind this mighty stack of 412s, you're running, is it a Marshall?
It's a Marshall DSL 2000.
Okay.
Pretty much stock amp. Nothing's really been done to it. He's got a couple of pedals in front of it. We're running a MXR Phase 90, an old script one.
Yeah, I saw that, and I saw it's marked on that slow Van Halen setting.
10 o'clock. That's pretty much the magic setting for those. He's using that. He has one of the old original Rat pedals, and that's not really as, it's more for tightening up the tone as opposed to giving it a lot of distortion.
Uh-huh.
It's just more of a tone sculptor than anything else, keeps the low end tight. And then in the effects loop, we're using a GT8.
Okay, and what that's about getting, it. Okay, so what are you getting out of the GT8?
GT8 is pretty much for the time delay effects, choruses, flanges, delays. He's got some vibratos in it, tremolo type of effects going on, depending on what song he's playing. Not really adding any tone or distortion or anything through that. It's just basically as an effects pedal.
And okay, I noticed, okay, that's the Boss and the Phase 90 are up front where he's controlling them. In back, you've got the Rat. Is the Rat just on all the time?
Yeah, Rat's on all the time, does never get turned off.
Yeah.
It's basically, it's on at the beginning of the show, gets unplugged at the end of the show. The only thing we add in there is there's a Boss Octaver. He throws in for two solos.
Okay.
And then I actually patch that in and out during the show because he doesn't like it on all the, in the loop all the time.
Really?
So it's, we put it in for two songs. I actually pop it on for him during the two solos, like the Rise solo and trying to remember the other one. Oh, Thicker Than Blood that we started doing on the last couple runs. And just gives it a little bit of the octave effect in there and everything.
Sure.
Not that he really needs it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that just goes in there for the two songs and then it comes back out.
Okay, the Phase 90, is it running on batteries?
Yes.
Okay, so I noticed you had it unplugged. Is the Rat 2 running on batteries?
Everything's running on batteries.
Just likes batteries.
He just likes the batteries. It seems to be easier. And then basically every three shows, I will change all the batteries out and everything. But yeah, it's one of those, he likes the tone with the batteries. It's a little bit different. With the Phase 90, he likes the old ones that does not have the light in it because it affects the tone a little bit with the LED and stuff. So we just, that's the way we do things.
Yeah.
So.
Perfect. What picks does Nuno use?
Right now he is using, I can't remember the name of the company. We have a gentleman over in Australia that makes them for us.
Same as Pat?
Same guy that makes Pat's. We were using the painted ones like Pat had. Yeah. We're finding little inconsistencies with the thickness of the paint. So he went over to the white ones and just loves them. I can't even, I'm sorry, I wish I could remember the name of the company of the gentleman that does them, but off right now I cannot remember.
We'll try and get that in
the notes. We'll try and get that in there for you. But yeah, it's basically just like a, not really a thin, about a medium.
Yeah.
And just those are the ones he prefers right now.
God, his right hand is so
accurate. Yeah. And it, with the palm muting and everything.
It doesn't look like it's moving.
Yeah. Oh, it's moving.
Yeah. Well, John, thanks so much for joining us today. I know you guys got a show coming up and...
Filming something here, but
yeah, sorry, man.
No problem.
What the fuck are you doing? What are you doing on my stage, bro?
Yeah, no, sorry, we're just wrapping up your rig rundown. But as long as I got you, tell me a little bit about this.
Oh, this thing? This old thing? No, man, this is the newest. How you doing, man? Good to see you,
buddy. Hey, man, yeah, it's a huge fan.
Thanks for
fan.
Crashing my sound.
Yeah,
man.
Right,
what the
right.
Fuck, man, we're playing at the Ryman here, you know.
Yeah, God.
No, man, this is a little bit of a, obviously, I used to stare at the Van Halen 2 album.
Right.
For days on end and hours on end, and that was my favorite Eddie guitar that he had through his whole career. Was always the most magical one was this one to me. I don't know what it was about it, but maybe it's the photos on the cover or maybe it's the tone of that album, but I've always wanted one of his and I never got one. So I thought maybe I can get my own version, N4 version of it, and had it done. And yeah, and obviously since he passed, I bring it out during Bumblebee.
Right, which, God, that's like the highlight of the show.
Yeah,
man.
So, and then I keep it for Get the Funk Out. It's, let me tell you something, it's not easy playing on this thing because for the mere fact that it's just a maple neck.
Right, which you've always been on, you know, like yours is ebony,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
yeah.
So it's not only just the feel of it, but even looking at it. When you see the reverse of like a negative or what you're used to seeing with it, everything being dark and white, it's like it's really wild to play. So, but it's fun, I'm getting used to it. It sounds different, obviously, as everything does, but I'm pumped, man, I'm excited. So. Through the show, I do a couple, three or four little things that pay a little tribute to the King Edward, you know, the greatest.
That's what's so cool, because it had this kind of loving homage to the guy that inspired so much of this.
Yeah, look, I had, you know, my top three or four guys were always, you know, Paige and Brian May, yeah. And also Edward, you know, that, yeah. That. But Edward's probably the one overall sound-wise. You know, just the way he played rhythm guitar, the way he sprinkled things throughout and was creative and made guitar really kind of joyful like that. That always inspired me, and that's kind of how, that was always set the bar to always get to that point one day to be able to do that stuff on my own music. So, yeah. So here we are.
Well, great. Well, hey, I know you guys got a show, and I'm so glad you could, we could crash your sound check for
no
a minute.
Worries, man. It's good to see you, bro.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you so much. I know the rig, there isn't much going on, but like I always say, the rig is here.
Right.
The majority of the rig rundown is here. It's, yeah. It's on these fingers and where, and everything you play. So touch is everything. Of course, an amp. Of course, a little bit of whatever matters. But
this is minimal.
For me, it's like you try to stay out of the way of these fingers, and then everything else will come together. But I think that was my favorite. That was my favorite thing about the Eddie Roth period before he got very chorused out.
Right.
Was that it was really straightforward. You could hear all the tones. So that's it for me.
Right.
Thanks. Now get the fuck off my stage, man. I got a fucking sound check to do.
I got my first pack of NYXL strings, never having heard of them, knowing nothing really about them. It's just like, hey, this is something new that's coming out. Can you give this a try and let us know what you think about it? I couldn't break them. I couldn't throw them out of tune. No matter what I do, those strings are always there for me.
Hey, y'all, now I'm with Pat Badger. Pat, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
I love that you've got the hat on as a loving tribute to Nashville.
I do wear this hat at every gig, but not usually at sound check. But I figured since we are on stage at the Ryman, you know, there's many famous hats that have been on the stage, so I figure I might as well just, maybe I'll kind of blend in.
You blend. Hey, well, tell me about, so is this your current number one?
So this is my current number one. It is called the Meridian, reality bass. So there was only a handful of these ever made. Jim Meridian had made, I don't know if you remember, it was this odd green, strange shaped bass for Chris Squire from the band Yes.
Yes.
And it was like in the Owner of a Lonely Heart video,
sure.
And kind of that era.
Yeah.
So when I was in high school, I realized that this guy built this bass in my hometown in Winchester, Massachusetts. And so I went down to his guitar shop and basically hung out there and loitered for like weeks until he gave me a job at his custom guitar shop. So it wasn't until years later that we started building these. I actually worked at his shop there in Winchester, and that's where I met Nuno and ended up, you know, the rest is history.
I
will always have a Meridian on the road with me. Unfortunately, Jim Meridian has passed away, but his sons have worked for the band and still, like, you know, are like little brothers to me. But I'll always have a Meridian. Unfortunately, they're not making really many more of these, or, you know, his son has made a few of them, but there was a run of these. So I have this one and this one on the road with me right now. But those two are very special to me.
Oh, yeah. What a great history. So it looks light.
It's not bad. You want to check it out? It's made of alder, the body.
Yeah, it's not quite the crippler that a lot of basses are.
And these two actually have another particularly kind of cool story. Jim Rainey and I, we were making this run of basses, and I approached Tom Hamilton from Aerosmith and said, hey, man, you want to, he actually came down to the shop and we said, we want to build one.
Another Massachusetts guy.
Yeah, this is another Boston guy. Yeah. So I said, why don't you come down and check out this bass? We want to, give you one. If you like it, play it in a video or whatever.
Yeah.
So he came down in a silver Corvette. And so he said, oh, we'll paint it the same color as your Corvette. So we painted this bass and I gave it to Tom. And then years later, it was like, I'd say 2 years ago. And I said, hey, Tom, do you ever still play that bass? He goes, the guy's had like 100,000, basses. So he's like, honestly, it's there at Vindaloo, but I don't really play it live. I said, well, Jim Meridian passed away. And I said, I had some real, I really wanted to kind of try to collect some of the ones that were made originally. And so he said, give me your address, I'll send it to you.
Oh.
So this was actually Tom Hamilton's bass. So some of these like grooves in here were from his thumb. So,
oh, God, that's
yeah,
great.
So this one has kind of a cool story to it.
So what year, this is the one where he drove in with the Corvette and that's the color. So what year would that have been?
That would have been like, I'd say maybe 97, something like that.
Yeah,
98.
You were a kid.
So well, it was one extreme had kind of broken up, and Gary was in Van Halen at that time.
Yeah.
Not to drop any names, Aerosmith, Van Halen.
Pretty big band. pretty big.
But yeah, this was Tom Hamilton's bass, so he kind of gifted it back to me.
That's great. What an odyssey, huh?
And then that same year, we opened for Aerosmith at Fenway Park.
Oh, wow.
So I played the bass at Fenway, and he was standing over the side of the stage. And like, cool. It was cool. Yeah.
That's great, man. Okay, it looks like you've got the drop up there.
Yeah, I got the drop. We do a few tunes in drop D.
Yeah.
Couple off the new record, and then a couple of the old tracks.
Sure. But you've always been a loyal four string guy for the most part.
Yeah. I've only owned like one 5-string.
Yeah, yeah.
And even now, we're on the road with Living Color, and Doug Wimbish hands me his brand new Spectre 5-string. I'm like, dude, I can't play this thing. I don't know. Like the fifth string always just really confuses me.
Yeah,
I just haven't spent enough time with them,
Yeah, it's like, oh, it's supposed to be E.
Yeah, I go to hit the, open E, and I'm like, wait wrong note, Go to do a scale, I'm like, I'm in the wrong key. I don't know what's happening here. So.
That's great. So, okay, tell me about, what pickups did you choose on this?
Well, we always put the EMG PJ setup.
Yeah.
And I think there's EMG tone circuit and stuff in here too, so it's active electronics in this guy. So, but it's got a few battle scars.
Oh yeah,
some of them I've contributed, and some of them Tom did to this one,
and some probably your techs over the years.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I don't know where they are. I've heard it hit the deck a couple times.
It happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, part of it. Okay, so that's number one.
That's
great,
my number
story.
One.
Number two, how similar are these two?
Well, this guy has pretty much been a case, queen. Like, has not, so.
Well, when you got that one, it's hard to.
At the time, and it sounds like I'm making this up, but at the time when Gary joined Van Halen, I did the same thing with Michael Anthony. And I said, and it's not like it's not a great bass, but, these guys had so many guitars thrown at them over the years, and Mike had his thing or whatever. Yeah. So I said, Mike, I want you to check out this bass. So Jim Rainey and I, we built these at the same time.
Oh, really?
And painted this one the color of Jim's 442, like it was his cool classic car.
Yeah.
And so I have another couple of these at home that I had played for years and years. I have a black one that's all beat up and stuff. But so this one was kind of a case queen because after, Mike checked it out, but he never played it live. And so I went to his tech, Doogie. I said, hey, can you ask Mike if this thing's sitting in a case somewhere, just in the dark, it'd be kind of sad if no one plays it.
Yeah.
So again, he was like, Mike said, give me your address. I'll FedEx it to you. So this one was kind of a case queen in perfect condition. The only difference is this one just has a P pickup.
Yeah.
So, I usually use the PJ ones.
Yeah.
But this one has a cool tone of its own, you know, so. Yeah. But yeah, that was Mike Anthony's bass, okay. Tom Hamilton's.
Van Halen.
I'm an Indian giver. I'm an Indian giver, what can I say? But no, they were cool about it.
That's, I mean, that's the way it should be with endorsement instruments. Like, if they don't speak to you,
yeah, it'd be sad if this was sitting in a case, in the dark in the warehouse somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
And this one actually was sitting in Steven Tyler's vocal booth at Vindaloo, like propped up against a case or something for years.
Oh, the things it saw.
Yeah. And so, this one just was in a case, you know, so it's like, looks like brand new. And, you know, it just had some real significance to me to try to get these back, you know.
Oh, yeah. Hey, those are two very cool stories.
Yeah. Okay. No, they're pretty cool basses.
I think there's probably some stories on that Hamer, too,
though. The Hamer, this thing I just acquired this year.
Oh, really? See, I assumed you've just been
this is somebody else's road rash, but it's got the perfect amount of road rash on it.
Oh, God, yeah. Drug behind a truck.
Yeah, so, you know, we were heading out on this tour, and it's called the Thicker Than Blood Tour, and... I was like, I've always loved the Explorer shapes, you know?
Sure.
And, this just, I saw it on Reverb.
Oh, really?
And I was kind of like tracking these.
Yeah.
And they were always like, you know, $1,800, $1,700, $1,600. I saw this one for like $1,050 at some mom and pop music store. And I had a friend that lives right near the store. I said, hey, I'm going to go out on a limb and just buy this thing sight unseen, just by the pictures. Can you go check it out and pick it up for me and bring it to soundcheck? So he looked at it. He said, the truss rod's fine. It seems like, you know, the electronics are working. So I showed up at soundcheck. I plugged it in. I was like, holy shit, this freaking bass is awesome, right? So now I play it for like 4 or 5 songs a night. And it just reeks 80s, doesn't it?
Oh, God, it does. Do you know what year it was made?
I think it's like an 83 from what someone said, but yeah.
The golden era of Hamer.
And this is the only bass I have that's really passive. Like, I get, it has the original, I think they're DiMarzio pickups, but the thing sounds great. I use it for like, you know, toward the end of the set, but we were also shooting a video for the song Thicker Than Blood. Yeah. And so I used it in the video. I said it's a great blood red, color. You know,
yeah,
I don't know what the lights are doing on it now, but it's a little darker than when these lights
hit it. No,
definitely,
it's blood red.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a pretty cool. Yeah. It was cool for the video. It kind of gave me an excuse to to buy it even for the video.
Yeah,
and then I loved it when I plugged it in. Yeah, yeah. So anyway, and then I added the drop D to this, but it needs to be adjusted. It's kind of cockeyed here, but.
Okay, but those that's pretty are much great. Three great bases, great stories. Let's hear about, you pushed a lot of air back here. What is your amp situation?
Well, the amp's back here, but I use Ampeg.
Yeah, which you've been doing forever.
Yeah, you know, and I have a great relationship with Dino, the artist guy, up in my neck of the woods. Great guy, and they hooked me up with this whole rig. We kind of went with a symmetrical pattern where we kind of made this shape out of Nuno's cabs and my cabs.
Yeah.
This is the only one that's on.
Yeah.
That's why that one's mic'd up. But these other guys are just, you know, they're for, you know.
Yeah, just in case.
Yeah, in case I want to go to 11, they're right there.
Might happen.
Yeah. But yeah, so, but Ampeg's always been great to me. You know, anywhere we go in the world, if I go to Germany, if I go to Tokyo, if I go, you know, on the Monsters of Rock cruise, there's going to be an SVT there. So I know how to instantly dial it in, and it's not going to be that much different than another head. So.
Yeah, really, really consistent.
And just so tried and true from all the greats over the years.
Oh,
you
God,
know?
Yeah. And I imagine that's what you've played this entire time.
Yeah. There was a time I had some GK stuff, which that's some great stuff as well. I had a solid state amp, but it had tube preamp to it.
Yeah.
That was a great sounding amp. I was using those for a while. But then again, when I returned to the Ampegs, I was kind of like, you know what, it just still, that feels like home. You know, that's my foundation. So,
yeah.
And also I just recently got a Rotosound endorsement.
Oh, okay.
So I've been using Rotosound strings on all these basses.
Okay,
which is,
what gauge are you using?
45 to 105.
Okay.
And, you know, I've been using the swing bass, but some of these, we ran out of the swing bass, and I decided, you know, I had them send me some of the Ultra Mags, I think they're called. So they're a different formula. They have like iron in the strings and stuff, and they feel a little different, but they have a little more output, and they sound like ridiculously good. So Yeah, so I've been using the Rotosound Ultra Mags on these guys.
All right. Now, let's talk about what's on the ground. Kind of a modest
I don't have much, honestly. I have just, obviously a tuner, which mutes everything.
Sure.
But also I can just tune up real quick. You know, Noon and I were sharing John, our great guitar tech.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have a guy on my side all the time hand me an in-tune bass. So I'll give it a quick little spot check, you know, before. And then I have this EQ, but it's really just to boost the signal. There's a couple little spots for
totally
the bass.
Totally flat.
Where,
yeah, you've got
it's flat. Totally flat. We put just a couple pieces of tape just to, I could probably find a better way to boost my tone, but, my signal, but I use that for a quick boost.
Yeah, tried and true.
Yeah. There's this POG, which is obviously the octave divider.
Yeah.
I don't use the low octave, I just have an octave up.
Yeah.
So a lot of songs when Nuno kicks into his guitar solos, I'll kick that in and it sounds like a rhythm guitar.
Sure.
Adds to the,
Yeah, because your job, you're covering a lot of sonic territory.
Oh yeah.
You gotta fill it up.
Yeah, especially, when you always know that when the guitar player, he's playing rhythm guitar and then when he goes into a solo, sometimes the,
bottom drops.
Yeah, a lot drops out. So I have that to kind of fill in that kind of mid-range of, an octave to what I'm playing on bass to kind of fill in. The Sans amp I used to use as my main tone shaper, but now I just use it as a DI and I don't even turn it on. It's basically just for XLR out of my pedal board to front of house. The main tone shaper I use now is the Billy Sheehan EBS pedal. That's actually like two or three generations ago.
Yeah.
But he personally sent me this in the mail one day, which is cool. We toured with Mr. Big a few years ago. And
I'm sure at this point, you guys have all worked together.
Oh, yeah. And Billy's such a great guy. But he sent me that, and it kind of emulates his, he's got a much more sophisticated thing than this pedal, but it works for me.
Yeah.
But it kind of has the clean sound, but then you can dial in enough grit and drive and stuff. But you don't lose the clean sound. You're just adding, because sometimes if you just add distortion to the clean sound and lose that foundation, it just gets all fuzzy and muddy and whatever. Yeah. So this really kind of keeps that cool, clean sound, but you add in the amount of distortion you want
little warm fuzzy grind.
And so I kind of set the SVT back there, kind of 12 o'clock most of the numbers, and just kind of use that as a power amp, and this has a lot to do with the tone. And then the Rat pedal is there's only one song I use it on and one part of the song Thicker Than Blood.
You're right.
There's like this kind of cool bass breakdown part in the pre-chorus. So I just hit that for those, but that stays off. It's the first time I've ever had a Rat pedal.
Yeah, Rat can get you in trouble.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, playing bass, not lead guitar, so.
Well, and speaking of that, you usually play with a pick a lot, right?
Generally I play with a pick a lot.
Really driving that thing. What picks do you use?
These are just, trying to remember the name of the company. John, I don't know where he went. Anyway, so.
We'll get it really, yeah.
I use heavy picks.
Yeah.
Made in Australia, and the guy always does these great graphics for us. Like, this is the symbol from the Rise video, band's logo, and my signature on the other side. But they're just heavy gauge picks, and they're fun little souvenirs to toss out to the crowd.
Yeah, but with a heavy pick, you can actually do some damage throwing it.
Oh yeah, especially if the black side's coming at them, they don't see it. If the white side's coming, they're like, catch it. But the black side coming at them, they usually get biffed in the head.
Yeah, blind a couple fans every year.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, that's great. Well, man, it is an honor to meet you, and I can't wait to hear you guys play.
Are you guys sticking around for the show?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Can you get some video of us playing the show? Is that going to be in
you know
in
what? The, our video, look at those guys. We got the dream team. Yeah. They're on
so
it.
Instead of me standing here playing it from with no drummer and no band, I'd rather you just get some of that footage of me playing bass in front of an audience.
The band in full flight.
Yeah.
Full absolutely. Flight,
but
wait, man.
Yeah, thanks for the time and coming down, man.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Hope you enjoy the show.
Till next time.
See you guys.
I've had, if we counted them, probably 7 bad D'Addario strings in 30 years.
The reason we only stock D'Addario strings is because D'Addario strings are perfect.
It's nice to be able to depend on something.